have notes in your hand in just a moment. This is Lesson 7 in the series on faith. In 1978, God spoke to me at camp meeting with Brother Kenneth Hagin, and God said, go back to Austin, raise up a body, and teach my people faith. At that time, the Lord gave me the shield that we have on the lectern and this phrase, faith through knowledge produces truth in action. Faith through knowledge of what faith is about produces that truth becoming an action of your life. When you believe a thing, you lay hold of a thing. They are putting notes in your hand, and the first thing I want you to notice is the picture that I'm presenting to you. Because it is a religious picture, and it is untrue. But it is a mindset a lot of people have. Jesus laying his hands on a blind man for him to receive sight. But it didn't happen that way. And if you're waiting for a time when God comes by and lays his hand on you, you may be waiting too long. If you came to church today and you had discomfort in the lower portion of your back right about the belt line, if you'll check yourself, you'll find out you've been made whole just sitting here. Why? The praise team is ministering under the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke. The gifts of the Spirit have been in operation. The word of the Lord has come forth. God has been uplifted. Then whatever you need from God, he's present. Because when he is uplifted, you're drawn into that lift. And you can receive from him mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. I believe in my spirit that while we were talking about the abundance, there were people in this building who said, God, I want that abundance. And I'm saying, it's yours. Amen. Identifying the process of faith. Faith is a process. I've told you many times, at the cost of being redundant, I will repeat. Believing is to faith what training wheels are to riding a bicycle. If you think you're in faith because you're believing something, I want you to understand something. You're not. Faith and believing something are not synonymous. They are not the same thing. You're not in faith until what you believe changes what you're doing.
Yes. Amen.
One more time. You are not in faith until what you believe affects what you're doing. Faith without works is dead. Last Sunday in Lesson 6, you'll remember, we began by telling you faith without corresponding action is hope. Faith without corresponding actions, actions that affirm what you now believe, actions that you take because you believe that, you do something because you believe, that is faith. Hope is just believing it and wanting it to happen, but not doing anything to facilitate its arrival. Years ago, I wanted another car. I was in the beginning days of learning how to walk by faith. And so, Sister Gail, I came home and I told Lou, from this day forward, stop parking in the middle of the driveway. Park on that side of the driveway because I've got a new car coming. I went down to AutoZone and I bought some new car shampoo and some tire black. I bought stuff and I put it in the garage getting ready for my car. Why? If you're believing God for something, make room for it. Right now, my wife and I are believing God for a new house. So on a regular basis, we go out and we drive through neighborhoods that we think we would like and we look for houses. We've looked at a lot of houses. Holly has gotten tired of showing us houses. But you see, we're at the point now where we have looked at enough houses, we've praised God enough, we've celebrated enough that we're about to buy one and just pay cash for it. Why? We have learned believing God for monthly payments, and we've gotten pretty good at it. But now it's time to believe God to be free of them. Can you do that? Line upon line, precept upon precept, you grow until you can believe God for things. There was times I was so poor I had to believe God to pay attention. But I didn't stay there. And daily God is taking me to places where it catches up with you and you go, where did this come from? And Daddy God is kind enough to go, Demetrius, remember when you asked me? Oh, this is that? That was 3 years ago. Yeah. I didn't forget, and because you didn't give up, now you got it. Church, I've had blessings that I believed God for and prayed for, and when it showed up, I had to stop, and God would say, remember, and I'm going, huh? You asked me for this, and now it's yours. Oh, yeah. How come it wasn't here the next day? Now, believe God, tomorrow it's here. No. Sometimes it's days, weeks, months, years. But John, it's still just as sweet when you realize, wait a minute, I believed God, I didn't give up on it, and it got here even when it arrived at a time that, Winnie, I had forgotten I believed for it. But God doesn't forget. Faith is a process which cannot be confined within the framework of belief. Faith is a process, and it cannot be confined within the framework of, well, I'm believing God, Brother Richard. Well, what are you doing to prepare a place for what you're believing for? We can observe certain aspects of this process of faith reward in the occasion of Bartimaeus on the Jericho Road. What I'm saying here is observe the process or steps of faith, the acts that prove he was in faith that are demonstrated to us in the life of Bartimaeus. Because, hon, if all you're waiting for is a punchline when he got up and could see, then you're missing out. Because, Robert, there's steps that take place between hearing the good news of God's provision and walking in the supply of that provision. You know you're still my favorite. Should come around more. First, we might remember another failure to believe God that occurred concerning Jericho. God said, you can have it. And it's fun to go to children's church and sing, and the walls came tumbling down. No. 40 years of unbelief kept the walls up. Don't let unbelief keep the walls up around your health, your wealth, your joy, your peace, your family members being born again, the mates you've been believing God for, whatever. Don't let unbelief keep the wall up that's keeping you out of your promise from God.
Right.
And if you have to walk around the wall, keeping your mouth shut so you don't damage the ability of the wall to fall down,
Right. Then
keep walking and don't talk until you can say, Brother Raymond, I believe God, therefore this wall is coming down. There are walls around your financial blessing. Tell them, walls, you're coming down. I'm getting my abundance. There are walls that have the devil's tried to erect around your inheritance, your blessing, your windfall, your jackpot, your raise, your bonus. Tell those walls, walls, you're coming down. I'm getting mine. There may be walls erected around your healing. Say to those walls, walls, come down. I have a promise of God, and I'm getting my blessing of God. The children of Israel refused to enter into the rest of God said it. I believe it. Therefore, I can take a nap because it's going to happen. I have said to you, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Why? Because it shuts you down and gets you out of the way while the angels of God are working. Sometimes you just need to become a believer and say, Father, according to your word, Hebrews 1:14, I loose angels to war in my behalf. Angels are dealing with the wall. They're dealing with what I'm believing you for. I'm going to take a nap. And go take a nap expecting the same angels that tear down the walls between you and your promise, because your promise exists. If it's in God's Word, it exists. My healing existed for not 7 months between the day we decreed it and the day it came to pass. It had existed for 2,000 years. But the walls came down when we continued to stand and celebrate with his stripes, Pastor was healed. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Can I give you a little something? Oral Roberts used to say this. Remember, God is good and there's no evil in him. The devil is evil and there's no good in him. Every good gift comes from God. Don't ever confuse the two. Then they came to Jericho. And he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. The master teacher, Yeshua, king of the Jews, who?
King of the Jews.
The king of the Jews had stopped at Jericho. Now his procession, his party, begins the trip out of Jericho. There's a throng of people that are in this procession. And as they're coming out of the town, emerging on the road to Jericho, sat a beggar. Because beggars would sit by the road, catching the people as they were coming to town. Why? They wanted some of their shopping money before they went in and spent it at Walmart. Yea, verily, thou rememberest not Walmart of the Bible? So the beggars would sit, and as the travelers were coming in, they were already expecting all the good things were in there and their spirits were being lifted. It was a good time to get some change while they still had some change. You don't want to sit at the exit to Walmart asking for money. You sit at the entrance. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, wait a minute. Why is it telling us Jesus the Nazarene? Because the Nazarite vow had been strong in Israel in people like Samson. The Nazarite vow was God doing something out of the normal for people. And he was sitting there because he had heard Yeshua, Redeemer from Nazareth, is coming. The blind man hears that Yeshua, Redeemer of Nazareth, a descendant of King David, a person of royal lineage, is to pass by. And in this day, people believed that the word of a king is with power, that kings could grant special dispensations. Bartimaeus calls out for mercy. Mercy, an unearned, undeserved, unqualified dispensation from a king. King, I want some of your kingly power. Step one, Bartimaeus had heard reports of the works of Yeshua. All of Israel had heard of his birth and of his life. And faith comes by hearing. So step one, you got to hear that something's available. Step two, Bartimaeus put stock in the words he had heard, so much so that he was willing to take action based upon what he believed. Because faith without works is dead. Step one, he heard that it's possible. Step two, he changed his reality to accept the fact that it is possible. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David!" Is he calling out Son of God?
No.
Is he calling out prophet?
No.
Priest? No. He is calling out for the work of a king. Son of David, heir of the royal line, have mercy on me. Now I want you to get the next phrases that are listed here. Faith will always experience opposition. The moment you hear a promise of God, the moment, Cheryl, you are stirred in your heart to believe God, opposition will come. Well, I'm going to believe God for a raise. The devil will see to it that eight people come by to give you a newspaper with a headline saying, worst economic times ahead. The moment Phoebe stands up to believe God for healing, the devil will make sure that, you know, Leif Johnson Ford may have had a commercial scheduled for right then, but the devil will go in there and move that Leif Johnson commercial and put in an Aleve commercial. Why? The devil will find somebody that you haven't talked to in years, and they'll call you up and go, girl, I heard you was sick. The moment you decide to believe God, you become a threat to the devil. And the devil will hate you through any available vessel. As a believer, Marilyn, we have to get the attitude of when we decide I'm going to believe God and we get a bad report, what we should do that moment is recognize, wait a minute. Let me look at this. I decided to believe God, and immediately this adverse report came to me to tell me something contrary to what I was going to believe God for. Friday, what do we do in that moment? We go, thank you, devil, for reminding me that you're a liar and God is true. You're the devil. You're a liar. There's no good in you. You don't care about me. You're not trying to save my face by telling me, now don't step out there and say you're healed. Your bills are paid. You're blessed. You're prospered because people think you're crazy. Hon, I don't care what people think. I'm getting me some healing. I don't care what people think, Mary. I'm getting me some abundance. I don't care what people have going on in their life. I can't look at that. Rudy, I've got to say, God said it. I believe it. Therefore, it's happening in my life. Church, I'm telling you, it don't matter if you're 4 years old, 40 years old, or 400 years old. Don't look at me like that. I'm not in the 400 category. Your age doesn't matter. Well, Pastor, I've only been a believer a week, a month, a year. God doesn't care. As long as you're in the family, you're family. Tony, you might have just finished saying the words, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. In that moment, you became heir of all the promises of God. If it's in the book, get you some. I found in the book, my God supplies all of my need. I said, I want some. I found in the book, with his stripes, you were healed. I said, I want some. Church, get you some. I have eternal life because it's a promise of God. I have health because it's a promise of God. I have wealth because it's a promise of God. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. So I can come on a Wednesday night, stand before a congregation with it being live streamed through the air, and I don't know who's watching out there, and say, the weather report today has said the worst ice storm of the year is headed this way. The weather report has said that there will be freezing rain and sleet. The weather report is so severe that they've already closed all of the schools for tomorrow in preparation for this hell that's going to break loose on Austin. Thursday morning, I get a text from Brother Steve Armbruster, and it says, I survived Ice Apocalypse 2015. Thank you, Pastor. Hun, if you're out there, you know, remodeling a room, you don't want to have freezing weather. But you see, I could come in and boldly tell you, church, we're going to agree together right now. We're going to curse it. We're going to break it. And we're going to decree it won't happen. Well, Pastor, why don't you do that every day? No, no, no. Well, you don't do it every day. When, Judith, you get that unction to function. I didn't come to church saying, I know what I'm going to do tonight. No. I'm walking up to the platform and I hear it in my spirit. And when I hear it in my spirit, I know it's as good as done. Say this with me.
I have
hearing ears.
I hear
the Spirit speaking. And I adjust my walk,
my talk,
my behavior to align with what the Spirit's saying. So I'm walking to the platform, I make that minor adjustment, and I get up here and I tell you, The weatherman has spoken. It's on all the news channels. They have decreed a cold front is coming. The worst cold front of the year. The worst ice storm of the year. There'll be freezing rain and sleet, they say. But I'm saying we're going to right now agree and decree it's not happening. So we all got involved. So it wasn't just pastors saying it. The corporate anointing came in. And we agreed together, Tina, and we said it. And what happened Thursday morning? The sun broke out. Now then, I want you to understand, my neighbors have to live around me. The neighbors know I'm a minister. In fact, I've had neighbors, I'm getting out of my car, and one of the neighbor's cars pulls up and says, "Can we talk?" Her marriage had gotten so bad she was about ready to commit suicide. And so right there in the car, I took her hand, we prayed together, we broke that spirit, we talked to her. I had her call Lady Gail and talk to her. Broke it. I have neighbors come up and knock on the door. "You're the preacher, aren't you?" "No, I'm a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm a pastor. I don't like preachers." Pastor, what's the difference? A pastor covers his flock. A preacher preaches at you stuff he's not even doing. I want to live what I teach you, and I do. I live what I teach you, and God blesses me continually. But we agreed together, and we pulled in that corporate anointing. And the weather changed. And as I was about to finish, the Lord said, "Say this." And I said, "Since the schools are closed tomorrow, your kids will be able to go outside and play." Wait a minute, Pastor. It's one thing to stop the ice and the freezing rain and the sleet. But go outside and play? It was a beautiful day. But my neighbors have to live by me. You know what I did Wednesday? Y'all remember Wednesday afternoon? Nasty weather, cold, freezing. I went out and washed my wife's car. I would have washed mine, but it was out in the street. Hers was in the driveway. I washed her car. I got out a towel and I dried it. And someone said to me, "What are you doing?" "I want her car clean for tomorrow." Now imagine you're living in the neighborhood with me. And here's this fool out there washing a car. Worst ice storm of the year is headed this way. Freezing rain and sleet. And that fool's out there washing a car. You see, I didn't have quite enough faith or I'd have washed all five of them. But I just washed hers. So I'm washing her car. I get it nice and clean, towel dried. Come in and tell her you got a clean car for tomorrow. Why? Faith without works is dead. And I didn't say anything to my niece and my nephews that were there at the house about it. The next day I said, "Do you know why I washed the car last night?" And they said, "Because you knew it wasn't going to be bad weather." And I went, "Yeah." Church, don't look at me like I'm crazy. That's the way the neighbors look at me. If you believe a thing, you change your behavior. So, Joan, I don't care that it's raining and nasty and ugly out there and the weather report's saying the worst ever. I had to turn on the hose Friday, and I hit my spray nozzle, and just a little squirt came out. I had to stand there and hold it until all the ice in the hose was broken up so I had enough water pressure to wash the car. But it don't matter. I'm washing that car because Thursday's coming, and she needs a clean car to go to ladies' Bible study. Does what you believe change the way you behave? Does what you believe about God affect you? I'm believing that this month, right now, we have miracle wealth transfer being poured out. So I went through my safe and I got everything in order. I laid it out. I got my receipts together. I got everything. I'm ready to go to the bank. Andrew's going to wait until Monday to go, but faith will always experience opposition. determined today, I'm escaping the opinions of others. I'm going to let you in on something. There are some folks you can't share your faith with. Don't share your faith with some fool that's going to say, are you kidding me? You're believing that? No. Find somebody that you can call up and say, Brother Raymond, I'm going to believe God for this. And somebody will say to you, then I'm going to set my faith in agreement with you, and we're going to believe together because that's a promise of God that you've laid hold of. It is written, therefore it can't be broken. We're agreeing together. And if somebody calls you up and they say, Judith, I'm believing God, don't you touch their faith. Say, yes. In fact, I can think of another verse of Scripture that affirms that. Let's put both Scriptures together and let it be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let's agree. Build other people's faith up. Why? Don't you ever beat somebody down. Well, if you had faith, shut up, fool. You sow that seed, and you're going to have a crisis in your life that you can't get fixed, and you may have to go back and apologize to some people. I bad-mouthed you when I should have supported you. You were having trouble believing God instead of jumping all over you and quoting 18 verses that told you how crazy you are. I should have stood with you and said, I'm going to undergird your faith, and I'm going to be like Jesus to Peter. Peter was being a fool, and Jesus said to him, Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. People don't need you judging them, measuring their faith by your standard. Just jump up beside them and say, all right, let's stand together and believe God. Now, if they're believing something that's contrary to the Word of God, go, I can't go with you there because the Word of God says this. But if you can adjust it over to that, I can get in agreement with you. Lead people, don't beat them. Faith will always experience opposition. So escape the opinions of others. Don't share your faith with unbelievers. You'll experience opposition from within. Self-doubt, fear, worry, torment will try and rise up in you when you make a stand. Realize it ahead of time so when it comes, you're not moved by it. And canard, you just go, no, I am going to believe God. And it doesn't matter how much fear, how much oppression, how much is coming to me. Mind, be quiet. Flesh, stand down. I'm believing God. Then there will be opposition from without. Like I said, you determine to believe God for something, the devil will immediately punch 17 people that don't even like you, and they'll call you and give you the opposite. You ever notice how that sometimes when you decide to believe God, take the receiver off of the phone cradle. Reach over and punch number 7. Lay the phone down. And don't worry about that, me. Don't worry about that. You're just guarding your faith. Why? Because, Scott, the devil will have somebody call you to tell you a bad report. And then the process, you go from hearing a promise of God to believing in the promise of God to receiving strength to act on what you believe. That's the process of faith. Hear it, be changed by it. Go from hearing about it to putting faith, believing in it. Then go to an action that corresponds with what you believe. If you believe you're the healed of the Lord, don't keep laying there on the couch taking aspirins and drinking Dr. Pepper. Well, keep drinking the Dr. Pepper, skip the aspirin. Get up. If I was healed, what would I be doing? I'd be getting me a shower. I'd be fixing my hair. I'd be getting ready. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, if you don't comb your hair, people think you're sicker and they'll go easier on you. No. Don't go, if I get dressed, people are going to expect me to do stuff. If I keep my jammies on, they'll think I'm really sick. They find me here at 9 o'clock with my hair messed up, my jammies on, no makeup. No, say, wait a minute, if I'm the healed of the Lord, I'm going to act like the healed. I'm getting my shower, I'm fixing my hair, I'm putting on my clothes, because when healing arrives, I want to be dressed and ready. Amen. Belief must change. You see, the sermon gets changed. Here's my note to talk about Wednesday night, so we already done that. Belief must change the way you see yourself. it must become strongly held enough to influence actions based on that belief. Practice faith stands. I told you, from time to time, I determine to just do something by faith. We did one Wednesday night. We don't do that every day. Maybe 10, 5, 6 times in the last 20 years, we've came in and attacked a weather report just to keep our faith tuned. But you see, from time to time, I'll go, I'm going to believe God for an extra $1,000 this week. I used to believe God for an extra dollar, and then I got up to 50 and 100. Now then, I'll just believe God for an extra $1,000 this week. Why? I'm practicing my faith. I'm keeping exercise. If I leave the barbells sitting over in the corner and I don't lift them for a week or two, and then I get under conviction because I notice something hanging over my belt, and I go over and I grab those weights, it's a problem to get them up. But if I go over there every day and I'm pushing the weights, it ain't no thing. It's the same way with your faith. If you let your faith lay on the shelf until an emergency comes along, you're in a heap of trouble, Jack. Keep a prayer line number handy. You're going to need it. But see, when every once in a while you decide, I think I'm going to believe God for lunch today. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm going to believe that someone is going to buy me lunch today. Well, Pastor, why would you believe that? One, the person that buys me lunch probably needs a blessing. And because they bless me with lunch, they're going to be rewarded for it. And two, I'm just keeping my faith muscles flexed with, I'm going to believe God. You can get a car, a house, a job. You can get a raise, a bonus. You can get anything by believing God. But you don't do it to get the thing. This is where people lose it. The thing is just something I'm using because my faith is what I'm doing. Pastor, a new car would be nice. Yeah, it would be nice, but it's not near as nice as knowing my faith got it. You see, some people try and use God. All right, God, I got this verse, and I'm going to take these three steps, and you have to do it. I can tell you right now, it ain't going to happen. Why? You're trying to get it, not develop your faith. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? Getting it and not getting it. Because when you try and work a formula, you lose. It's a process, not a formula. So you cooperate with the process because it that I'm after, Gail, is not near as important as the route to get there. The process is preeminent over the prize. When the prize is preeminent over the process, I don't get nothing. So when you select lunch, health, money, job, whatever it is, realize that's just the object. My faith is what I'm developing. And I get that thing as a bonus for working my faith. You hear a promise of God, you believe in a promise of God, then you receive strength from God to act on it, because much of the time you don't even have the strength to act on what God said. But you say, God, your word says it. I'm believing it's true. Now give me the strength to lay hold of that and possess it. Belief must change the way you see yourself. It must become strongly held enough to influence your actions based on that belief. Bartimaeus would not be turned aside from the actions of faith he had embraced, even though the crowd was putting him down. Step number 3, will your faith stand overcome others' opinions? It's going to happen. When you decide to believe God, people are going to put you down. Pressure of opposition only spurred Bartimaeus to be more persistent in his action, faith inspired. Understand this, your faith can stop God. Verse 49, and Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, forget we was putting you down a minute ago. Take courage, good buddy. Yeah, right. You notice how when God's hand's on you, you become the star attraction? All the people, it was, you're a fool to believe that. You're crazy. Brother, I'm with you. God's doing this. Can I have some? The same people that was putting him down, take courage, stand up. He's calling your name. We're with him, Lord. Excuse me. They were putting him down. Now they give him encouragement. Take courage, good buddy. People are flaky. God is true. His word is eternal. Choose one. The Redeemer hears faith's call. He knows what he has need of before he asks, because the word of God says, I know what you have need of even before you ask. Before you ask, I will answer. The crowd changes to reflect the master's focus, because public opinion vacillates easily. Throwing his cloak aside, remember, beggars wore a dark coat to signal people they were blind. So he had on his beggar's coat. He throws his beggar's coat off. Why? He didn't pull the coat around him so Jesus could see, I'm a beggar. No, he threw the coat off because he was going from beggar to believer. You got to do something different. His source was begging. Now he throws that source off because he's believing in another source. He jumped up and came to Jesus. He's making room for his answer by changing his station in life. I was a beggar, now I'm a receiver. I'm making room for my blessing. If you believe it, you make a place for it. If you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done, because what you've got now is a product of what you've been doing. If you're broke, you're doing it wrong. If you're sick, you're doing it wrong. If you're discouraged, you're doing it wrong. That's not condemnation. That's wake up. Change what you're doing, because if the crop you're getting isn't the crop you want, check the seed you're sowing. Now, Pastor, that just sounded like condemnation to me. Oh, you wouldn't know condemnation if it identified itself with a calling card. That was hope. If you don't have what you want from God, then realize what I've been using as bait is not attracting the blessings. I need to change the bait. If I'm out fishing, and I'm fishing for catfish, and I'm using worms, and somebody stops by and goes, hey, what are you fishing for? Bass? No. Catfish. Well, quit putting worms on your hook. Well, why? Put stink bait on there. Why? Because catfish can smell the stink bait and they'll go for it. You want catfish, they're bottom dwellers. They like stink bait, not worms. If you want perch, bass, crappie, a worm will do. You want catfish? Get the stink bait. Get a lead weight. Let it go down to the bottom, because catfish don't dwell. Right, you know, you got your hook 6 inches from the surface. It's 4 foot of water. Put a weight on there. Get the hook down at the bottom. Why? You got to go where they're at to get them. If the bait you're using isn't attracting the blessings of God, then change. Praise quiets and stills the avenger. That tears down the wall. Standing in solidarity with his word and decreeing before it happens what you're believing is going to happen changes your situation. He came to the king to receive a royal dispensation. Make room for your miracle. That's what I started doing this week when I cleaned out the safe. Banded all the currencies, put everything together, tallied up what I had. Then I added up what I was going to have because of what I had and got ready for the blessing. Then I went and put that into the other safe, and now I've got a big space in the safe that the currency was in, because I've made room in there now to stack the green that's coming. Because that purple and yellow and red money, I'm getting rid of that. So I want some green stuff in here. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" God's saying this to some of you today. Can you hear it? Marilyn, what do you want me to do for you? David, what do you want me to do for you? Teresa, what do you want me to do for you? Are you listening? Can you hear it? And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni." Now, Rabboni is an Aramaic phrase. It means my master, my teacher, my Lord. He's already taken ownership of their relationship. He didn't go, "Well, stranger." No. "I want something from you, so you're my master, you're my teacher, you're my Lord, Rabboni. I want to regain my sight." Now, this is the worst kind of blindness. Pastor, why do you say the worst kind? Because he once had sight. Now he doesn't. He knows what he's missing. He knows what the sky looks like that he can't see. He knows what his kids' faces look like that he can't see. He knows what mama looks like and he can't see her. He knows what the river flowing looks like and he can't see it. He knows what those pile of rocks out there that used to be the wall look like. And now he can't see it. "I want to regain my sight." Faith, number five in the process, faith identifies with lordship. Rabboni, master, teacher, Lord. "Lord, I want, I desire to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Wait a minute. Why didn't it happen when he believed it? Because he hadn't followed through yet. When I was taking tennis lessons, they said to me, "Your follow-through is wrong." I hit the ball, but your follow-through is wrong. It's not enough to hit the ball. You've got to hit the ball with direction. If you're going to lob it, come under it. If you're going to spike it, come over it. And they teach you the follow-through, because if all you're going to do is that, that ball can go anywhere. But you can direct it with your follow-through. When I started taking golf, same thing. I hit the ball, your follow-through is wrong. That's why your ball's over there in the woods instead of over here on the fairway. You got to change your follow-through. Wait, it isn't enough to make contact? No, no, no. You got to direct. So there are steps. There are seven steps that you have here in your notes that is the process of faith, and you see it in the life of Bartimaeus. "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Wait a minute. He began following? Yeah, he quit being a beggar. He's got a new life. If this is supplying my needs, I'm going to hook with it. "Your faith has made you, by your corresponding actions to what you believed, you have become well." Having received from the master, he began to follow him on the road with the source of his restored sight or restored life. He is now a receiver, not a beggar. Your faith can only elevate you when what you believe changes what you do. Oh, Brother James, if you highlight or underline anything, this one line right here. Your faith can only elevate you when what you believe changes what you do. What Bartimaeus believed changed what he did. Last week with the woman with the issue of blood, Anitra, what she believed changed what she did. And what she did changed who she was. Number seven, when you experience God and his blessings, you got to change your way of life to accommodate this new level of understanding you get into. And now for those of you who like to write on that piece of paper and haven't had anything to write yet, write number eight. Number eight is praise. In the process of faith, praise your way to victory. If I believe I'm the healed of the Lord, then I begin to celebrate it. Brother Brad told you that he came to visit me while I was in the hospital. And when he came into the room, I reached out my hand and said to him, "Brother Brad, help me celebrate the victory." And he was like, "Wait a minute. You're lying flat on your back in bed. You can barely move. And you're telling me to join you in celebrating the victory?" But he did. Now you can look back and go, I helped him celebrate the victory when there didn't appear to be none. If you're waiting until your miracle arrives to praise God, then you are in doubt. You are in unbelief. Because if you can't receive it because you asked for it and celebrate it as done, it ain't coming. Because you're only fooling yourself that you're believing God. Because if you really believe God is true, then you believe, "Have I not said it, and will I not bring it to pass? I know what you have need of before you ask." Two verses. Third verse. "Before you ask, I will answer. Therefore, the fact that I am asking means the answer is already on the way, so I'm going to celebrate it before I see it." Praise your way to victory. Hear what God said. Believe what God said. Lay hold of what God said as your answer. Act on that lordship with corresponding faith. If I believe this, how would it change what I'm doing? He went from begging to believing to acting to receiving. Are you got it? Begging where he was, believing what he needed to do, to acting the corresponding action that proved he believed it. Because had he not believed it, he could have sat by the roadside, "I believe he's going to heal me. I 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 believe. I thought she was going to heal me." No. He got with the action of what he believed. In your life, what do you want the Master to do for you today? I'm asking you, what do you want the Master to do for you today? He is here. The anointing is here. His presence is here. It was in the praise and worship. It was in the gifts of the Spirit that were in manifestation. It was in the reading of the prophetic word. It is in the teaching and preaching of the word that's going forth right now. His anointing is here. You're sitting here. Throw off your unbelief and decide, what do I want from God today? Number two, from God's word, what has he said that gives you the foundation for your faith of what you want? "With his stripes you were healed. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. Your God supplies all of your need. Nothing shall be impossible to believe." What am I believing for? What do I want from God today? Then right now say, "God, I receive." Now tell him what you just received. "Well, Pastor, you know, I don't want to say a car out loud, you know, people around me." Don't cripple yourself. Don't keep the wall up. Say out loud, "Father God, I'm believing you for healing. I'm receiving right now my car. I'm receiving right now my job. I'm receiving right now my health." Now then, stand up right on your feet. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible if you'll only believe. But then act on what you believe. Act on what you believe. Right now, I want the people in this section, I want you to go to the side wall, come down this way. Take the emblems of communion. Take the bread, take the wine. Go back to your seats. All things are possible if you'll only believe. Now from this side of the building, exit to that way, come this way. Only believe. All things are possible if you'll only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Y'all can go there. go here. Only believe, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible, for Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Only believe. Only believe. For all things. Possible, only believe. Hallelujah. People over there, y'all can keep coming through. Come on, come on. Some of you go there, some of you go here. Are possible, for Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Communion is a celebration of triumph. We first find communion in the Old Testament when Melchizedek met Abraham, returning from an almost impossible victory. And Melchizedek brought the bread and the wine, and they celebrated a victory that God had brought. At the celebration of Passover, the Lord Jesus taught the disciples to internalize God's promises. God promised health. God promised health, safety, soundness, wholeness, and deliverance. So God taught them to internalize the blessings of God. You have a covenant. Now take that covenant inside you so it becomes a part of you. So communion reminds us the promises of God are real. They're true. I'm taking them inside me. I'm celebrating my victory. Communion says, God, with your stripes I'm healed. By your blood I'm cleansed from every curse, from sin and disease and sickness, from poverty and lack. So today, we're going to internalize the promises of God. We're going to receive the blessings. Because he said, if you would do this, you wouldn't be sick. You wouldn't die early. You would possess the promises of God. Father, we thank you that with his stripes we are made whole. We thank you that with his blood we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. This day, as we celebrate communion, we celebrate the truth of your word. We are the healed of the Lord, the blessed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord. And as we internalize your promises, we do so with joy, with celebration, saying thank you, Father, for your promises that fail not, for your ever-present help in time of need. This day, we rejoice in you, our God, our life, our health, our strength, our salvation, our provision. And together, the bread and the cup. Thank you, Father, this day. I decree that this people is blessed of you. I decree that I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Today I proclaim your blessings and abundance are loosed upon your people. They walk in a new level of life. They talk in a new arena of anointing. They walk in a new fullness of joy and peace. Father, I loose your blessings upon your people. I call them and decree that they are the blessed of the Lord, and the wicked one touches them not. And the people said, amen. You are the blessed of the Lord. Go with God. See you Wednesday night, if not before. Walk in blessings. Only believe.